welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
I'll tell you what, with the baptisms, the tail end of the service, I'm planning on doing a 20-minute sermon, shorter than normal. But I will warn you, the last time that I preached a 20-minute sermon, well, I've never preached a 20-minute sermon before, so you're about to experience history, I hope, right now with my preaching career. Well, if you want to, if you would, turn to Acts chapter 8. We're going to be there in just a second, and if you have a hard copy, that'd be great, and to be holding God's Word, if not, on your phone, and if neither of those, then you'll be able to see it on the screen in just a minute. When I turned 16 years old, my dad, he did this for me and my two other siblings around my age, and when I turned 16 years old, my dad found a broke-down, salvaged Jeep, and he fixed it up for me to run, and he gave it to me as my first car. A 1998 five-speed Jeep Wrangler with a soft top. And I was pumped. I mean, it was rusted out different places, and he really had to work on it to make it run and still salvage title. But I was so excited. It was mine. Really, it ran, and that's all that mattered to me. I certainly didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. I didn't expect that from my parents, but it was a gift which I was really, really excited for and so appreciative of. More excited for that, I think, probably, if I'm being honest, than I think any gift I had ever received up to that point, at least. I didn't know much about Jeeps, really, in general. I didn't know much about cars. I would absolutely fail any quiz if you gave me one about the intricate details of the engine, anything like that. I was far from proficient in driving a manual, especially at that time. And but still, I had it, and I was excited, and that was enough. So, like any 16-year-old, I wanted to take it out for a spin, right? And so, of course, bucking it because I was not knowing how to shift gears yet. I wanted to take it out and show my friends. So I was trying to drive through their neighborhoods and honk and have them come out and look at this amazing gift that I'd received that I was so excited I wanted to tell everyone about it. For Christians, this is a lot like what baptism is for us. I guess there's a few parallels. It's not a perfect analogy, but there's a few parallels. We've received a gift that we don't deserve, but it was a gift. We don't understand all the details, do we? We might not pass every test that comes our way about deep theology and Christian doctrine and all these theological concepts. We're not an expert in all things God, but we have salvation. And we want to go out and tell people about that. And so today's baptism day. And really what baptism is, if you aren't familiar with it or you're not so sure, baptism is really meant to be a physical display or a symbol, a physical reenactment maybe, or a representation of our salvation in a very visible way, in a tangible way to look at it and see it. It's meant to be a symbol. It reminds us of what God did for us. Every part of the baptism is symbolic. The getting brought down into the water is this symbol to remind us of Christ's death and dying and being put in a tomb, receiving the penalty that we deserve. So when we are dunked under the water, that's supposed to just flash our minds right back to the burying of Christ for our sins. And then, of course, being raised up, I won't hold you down for 3 days, but being raised up is supposed to remind us of the being raised in Christ and what Christ did for our salvation. He was resurrected. And of course, it's supposed to symbolize the Holy Spirit washing over us, purifying us, washing us anew, that no stain of sin will remain because the work of Christ and the purifying work of the Holy Spirit. And so, a baptism is a hearkening back to the work of Christ, but also a declaration of us joining with Christ in that. That we would die to ourselves. So when we are dunked, not only are we reminded of the death of Christ, but we are also declaring we die to self. With Christ, I die to my desires and my fleshly, internal, sinful cravings. I die to that. I'm putting it to death. I'm putting it in the tomb. And of course, being raised to new life is a symbol not only of the resurrection of Christ, but the new life that I'm proclaiming to walk in for Jesus. So today, I want to look at, like I said, 20 minutes, and I think maybe I've already blown past 5 minutes of those. So are you in Acts chapter 8? That's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the story of a man who was baptized. Acts chapter 8. His eyes were open to the goodness of God, and so what's the response that he does to this newfound knowledge of a good Savior who he wants to trust in? He got baptized. He got baptized. So I want to read the entirety of Acts chapter 8, not the entirety of it, the story in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. This is what the Word of God says. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasures. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seating in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The eunuch said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." Verse 34, "And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth and began with the scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." Amen. That is the Word of God. Do you have your Bibles in front of you? I don't know what copy of God's Word you have, what version, but I'll just say this quick note and then we're going to move on. I find verse 37 very interesting. I don't know what version you have, but you might be searching for verse 37 still. If you have an ESV, an NIV, or an NASB, NLT, it isn't there, is it? It's not there. Whoa. It's not there. That's because some ancient copies or manuscripts is what they're called, have that verse. But the majority of ancient copies of the Bible, ancient manuscripts, don't have that verse. They were included later on. So the majority of manuscripts don't include verse 37, and the earliest copies actually don't include verse 37, and so I just wanted to make that quick note and maybe make your heart stop pounding, and you're like, "My Bible's wrong." No, it's not. It's okay. Just wanted to highlight that. What I want to do with this story is look at the two characters in the story. First, Philip, and then the eunuch. Philip had a big part in the eunuch coming to salvation, didn't he? He had a big part. He was instrumental. And if it were not Philip, by God's sovereignty, the eunuch would run into salvation somewhere down the line if God would have it willed. But God had ordained that Philip would come across this man, and Philip was obedient, and he was instrumental in the eunuch coming to faith. There's a few things that Philip did to make this happen, and I'm a good Baptist, and I alliterated for you, so you can remember them, the three R's. First, he responded to the prompting of God. So if you want to be like Philip, if you want to be instrumental in someone coming to faith, and I pray you do. I hope that you want that. I want a story like Philip to say, oh yeah, last week I ran into this guy and he was opening his Bible and I had the courage to say, hey, you know what you're reading? Can I read it with you? I hope you want a story like that to be able to go tell people and just be excited about. And if you do, follow Philip's role. Firstly, he responded to the prompting of God. Let me read verses 26 and 27 again. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise, go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert place. What'd he do? He rose and he went. So the first thing, I guess, responded, or he rose. But then also, not only did he respond to the prompting of God and rise to it, but secondly, he ran. He ran towards an opportunity. Verse 29 says, the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. And so Philip ran to him. I want you just to notice how quickly obedient Philip is. God says, Philip, I want you to go down that road. Philip rose and went. He says, Philip, I want you to go to that chariot. Philip ran. That is really necessary for us if we want to be instrumental in the mission of God. To be responding to the promptings of God, to rise, and even to run at those opportunities. But then lastly, he was ready for the conversation. When the conversation came, he was ready. Verse 35. Then Philip, this is after he ran into him, he said, do you know what you're reading? He said, how could I unless somebody explains? Verse 35, Philip opened his mouth. Beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So rising, responding, running, that is all critical, but it is not all that helpful if you're not ready for the conversation. And so it's really important for you and I to know that we have to be ready. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to know the Word of God and continue to grow in our understanding of it, to have an ability to explain the gospel to somebody that wants to hear it. And so that's what Philip did. And it led to somebody coming to know Christ and their eternity being changed forever. So in all seriousness, do you long for that, Christian? And I ask that in sincerity, not in a backhanded way. Like, do you actually long for that? No, I guess it really is a genuine question, because I know some people are quite content with not doing that, with just living their life and knowing Jesus for themselves and making it to heaven, and we're good. Content with never being instrumental in the mission of God. And so I ask you, do you want a story like Philip's? Do you want a story like Philip's? I hope and pray that you do. I so desperately do. And I tell you what, I chicken out sometimes when he would have me respond or run. And I don't have all the answers when I need to be ready. But that doesn't mean I just stop trying. Right? Let's continue pushing on to be like Philip. Like Philip. And I think it's really amazing that when we do, when we're obedient, we rise, we run, we're ready, God will provide all that we need in that moment. It's so true. God will provide for you all that you need in that moment in your obedience. I find it just so amazing just looking at the provision and providence of God just in these short verses. Did you notice that in that verse, it started off when God said, Philip, rise and go from the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. there was a little sentence in there. It seemed to be completely random and pointless. This was a desert place. Why would Luke, the author of Acts, decide to say, very briefly, this was a desert place? I think to show that God would provide for Philip, when he needs it, a pool of water. Isn't that amazing? He's walking through a desert, and when a man needs to be baptized, God provides a pool. And not only that, but I think he really like softball pitched Philip the opportunity to witness. I think he really teed up Philip to be able to just walk up there and hit it out of the park. So Philip walks up to this guy, and the guy is reading Isaiah 53. Probably the clearest depiction of Jesus in the entire Old Testament, the scriptures that they had at the time that Philip was walking there. He's reading the easiest text in the Old Testament to say that's the work of Jesus. And so when Philip was obedient, he walked up, and it just so happened to be not only a pool right down the road, but he's reading Isaiah 53. And he says, could you explain what this means? Is this talking about somebody other than the prophet? Could you just imagine Philip? Well, yes, it is. Let me tell you. Thank you for asking the perfect question. May we be obedient to be like Philip. And when we are, I think God provides for us all that we need in that moment. He's right there with us. It's really amazing. So we talk about Philip. Let's talk about now, for the rest of the time, the eunuch, the man who comes to faith and gets baptized. I think we need to ask the honest question, how do we know that this guy was ready to get baptized, though? You know, like, honestly, he had just heard. Shouldn't he wait? Shouldn't he really grow and really be able to pass more tests on theology before he's baptized? How do we know that he was ready? Was it not premature? Was it too soon? Well, I'd say if you have found salvation, then you're ready. If you truly found salvation, you're ready. And I think there's really three things that tell us this man had truly found salvation. Three things in this text. Again, you're welcome. I alliterated. There are three H's this time, not three R's. Three things that I think prove he really truly found salvation. The first thing, when we're looking at this text, we see that he was a hollow man. He was a hollow man. And you're like, what in the world does that mean? Well, he was empty with the things of this world. He was hollow with the life that he had. Let me look at verses 27 and 28 again. Describing the eunuch, it says there was an Ethiopian. So he wasn't a Jew. He didn't know the history of the Israelites. He was a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasures. This man dealt with and handled on a daily basis the treasures handled by a queen. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He had heard about this God, the God of the Bible. And he has all these treasures back home as the chief person over all the treasures of the queen of the land. And he goes to Jerusalem to worship, most likely, the God of the Bible. He was returning, seating his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So what do we know about this man? Well, firstly, he spent his life overseeing untold amounts of treasures that this world has to offer. And yet, oh, and also, he was riding his own chariot. It says his chariot. And so this man was wealthy enough to ride his own chariot. Only wealthy people had that. And he had his very own scroll of Isaiah. This isn't common again. I know people, you can just go pick up a Bible for $1 at Goodwill. But this man had his own copy of the scroll of Isaiah. Back then, you couldn't just throw that on a scanner and print it out real quick. It was handwritten on a scroll. This is extremely expensive, and he's carrying it around. Most people would have to go to synagogue just to have it read to them, and they wouldn't be able to take it home. He had his own copy to take wherever he wanted. So he's riding his chariot. He has his own copy of God's word. He's the handler of the queen of the land's treasures. And still something tells me that he was discontent and he wanted more. He was hollow with the treasures of this world. Pilgriming to Jerusalem. Why? Likely to hear about the God of the Bible. Discontent with stories of divine beings in Ethiopia. He wanted the God of the Bible. And he's reading the word of God, the prophet Isaiah, searching. Searching. So what tells me that this man was ready? Well, firstly, he was a hollow man. He was a hollow man. Truly committing to Jesus is realizing that nothing in this world can satisfy you or can compare to Christ. The thought process here after salvation, I think, for Christians is being a slave to Christ is better than freely indulging in what this world has. That's the thought process for a Christian. Being a slave to the desires of Christ is infinitely better than indulging in the pleasures of this world. The thought process is that even with all the treasures that this world has to offer stored up in my possession, I'm hollow if I don't have Christ. I'm nothing. I'm empty. So that's the first thing. It seems like he's a hollow man. Secondly, it seems like he's a humble man. Let me read the text again, verses 30 and 31. So Philip ran to him. He heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless somebody guides me?" Remember this. This man was of high power, right? He was an authority, and he ordered servants around on a daily basis. He was in charge. And yet still, he admitted he doesn't have it all figured out. He doesn't have it all figured out. Thank God that he saves people that don't have it all figured out. Amen? So this man said, how can I understand this unless somebody guides me? Almost like he's saying, unless I have a shepherd. I'm a sheep, and I need a shepherd. And then Philip can say, well, if he wasn't taken away, that's the next verse, verse 40, but maybe he could be the man shepherd, but he could point him to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, to guide and lead his soul. This man knew his inadequacies, and he realized his need for help. He desired for somebody to guide him. You see, the second thing that I think we see in this is that truly committing to Jesus, someone that gives their heart to Jesus, means that they have a heart position of humility and recognize their need. You know, I think it's really an oxymoron to have the "I can do it all myself" mentality and then get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense to be a prideful, spiritually prideful person getting baptized for the remission of their sins. It's an oxymoron. Now, a humble heart is always critical and always describes the person getting baptized. Because that person getting baptized realizes, how can I do this on my own? I need a Savior. How can I understand this word unless someone guides me? Unless the Spirit prompts me? How can I fill in the blank unless He fill in the blank? That's the second thing that I think really lets us know this man was ready. He was hollow with the things of this world. He was humble about his own capabilities. And lastly, and I think maybe most importantly, he was a hungry man. Not like you, like ready to get out to lunch, I know. But he was hungry for the gospel. Let me read verses 32 to 35. Now the passage was of the scripture that he was reading was this. And this is Isaiah 53. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? From his life is taken away from the earth. Verse 34, and the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began with scriptures. He told him the good news about Jesus. I know it's so simple and so easy to read past, but I really think this man was hungry to know and to understand. It's one thing to open up the scroll and start reading it. How many of us don't even make it past that speed bump? Because we're just not hungry. But he opened it up, and he was reading and trying to understand some really hard stuff. Isaiah 53, even being the easiest depiction of Jesus, is not all that easy. And still, he was trying to understand it and decipher it, make sense of it. And Philip comes and he says, I need to know, was he talking about himself or was he talking about... He was really trying to understand. I think he was craving to grow in his understanding. He was willing to soak up everything that Philip said about God. It says Philip opened his mouth and he started teaching the word of God, starting with that scriptures. Well, what did Philip teach? Have you thought about that? What did Philip teach him? Well, we don't know exactly. What we do know is that when Philip was done teaching the man knew about baptism and he wanted to do it. So at the very least, it's very likely that Philip taught about the death of Christ and the raising of Christ and the washing away of sins, the calling for the Christian to die to themselves and to walk in newness of life in Christ. It's most likely they talked about all that, because by the end of whatever he was saying, the eunuch was like, I'm ready to be baptized. So he clearly laid out what baptism is. And the man soaked up everything that Philip was saying, and he was excited about it. You ever seen on YouTube people getting baptized, and they just come out of the water just so excited? And just like throw their hands in the air. I've even seen it on YouTube one time where a pastor gets like pushed backward into the water because someone jumps up out of the water yelling and screaming because they're so excited. And the pastor gets like dunked himself because he's taken over by the person. I think even one of our very own, Pastor Trent, maybe has a story that he could tell you of another time. I don't know all the details, but I do think that when he jumped up out of the water, he was so pumped up, he soaked all the technology of the soundboard and everything that was right there by the pool. So we made sure to push everything back a little bit in case we have a Trent on our hands today. But the eunuch was excited. He was so excited about receiving the word of God and hearing all about it. So he was not only hollow with the things that this world has to offer, he was humble in receiving. He doesn't have it all figured out. And man, he was hungry. And I think that teaches us that the eunuch was ready. Not that he had it all figured out. Not that he knew all the answers. Not that he had all the scriptures memorized. But he was ready because he was saved. So this is our plan for the rest of service. We're going to sing one song to prepare our hearts to celebrate with those who are getting baptized. So I'll invite the band to come back up. I don't think I hit my 20-minute mark. I got all excited. This is our plan for the rest of the service. We're going to sing one song. And that one song will really prepare our hearts to celebrate with these people that are getting baptized. They're making a declaration like the eunuch to say, I'm ready. I'm ready to declare what God has done in my life. So this song is going to prepare our hearts for that, and then we're going to have baptism. Not because they have it all figured out. They don't. None of us do. But these people are about to get baptized. They know that Jesus offers more than this world does. And they know, and they're hungry to grow in the God of the Bible who loves them. And that's enough for me. Would you guys stand and let's worship.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.